West Rocker Go Vols 24/7 senior writer. Let's don't shortchange him on the title. So let's do this. Put your math hat on, senior writer. What all seeds are still in play for the basket balls as we get ready for the SEC men's tournament?
That's a good question. You know, I think probably if they were to beat Florida and then go on, you know, a pretty good run there in the SEC tournament, I'm not going to assume they win it because, you know, like my great-great-great-grandchildren will leave this earth before Tennessee wins the SEC basketball tournament. But I think that you could probably, if you have gone a really good bender for the next couple of weeks, could maybe get up to like a four again, something like that, if everything goes right. Because some of those non-conference wins are really impressive. You know, the Kansas win, the Colorado win, those are looking better than they did at the time. So you could then argue, okay, they've been through their rough patch. James was hurt. They came back and they did their thing. Or they could lose to Florida, lose once in the SEC tournament, and then be maybe in that 8-9 game even. I mean, that's possible. So it's kind of weird that with 2 weeks out, we're talking about this kind of a potential for a seed. Like, that's a huge gap there. But it kind of fits in with this has been a weird year in college basketball. You know, some of the big matchups, like a Tennessee-Gonzaga benchmark, that was fun to see early in the season. You know, Tennessee-Wisconsin. Some of those things would have been fun to see, you know, but we didn't get to see a lot of those, so you have to make more guesses. So, I mean, really, to answer your question, I could see anywhere from like 4 to 8.
So, as far as the SEC tournament, Tennessee is number 5 right now, right? If they beat Florida, does that vault them into the 4th seed?
Yes, if they beat Florida, they will be the 4th seed, and they will get the double bye. So it kind of looks like things are pushing toward like a maybe like a 4-5 Tennessee Florida game at some point. Regardless, you know, play a rematch again in about a week or so. But yeah, I mean, if they win it, looking at the stats, I mean, Math and I are not best friends, but I'm virtually certain they're the 4th seed if they win on Sunday.
There you go, Wes Rucker, 24/7 Sports, joining Blaine and Mickey here on a Friday on the program.
Well, Wes, thanks for coming on. And I guess typically when you have a no midweek game, does that usually help the team in basketball, or does it hurt and it takes them a minute to get into the rhythm in their first initial game back? What do you think? Does it help them or hurt them?
You know, Blaine, I think it might depend on what kind of situation you're in. Right now, I think it might help. You know, if you've got things rolling, you know, if you've won, let's say, 6 of your past 8 or 7 of your past 8, you know, you got things going really well, but people are healthy. In that case, you don't want to take a week off because it knocks you off your rhythm, because it, you know, that's why you ask, like, why is Kansas playing UTEP? Why is, you know, Cincinnati playing Vandy? Why are these things happening right now? Because, you know, coaches don't like those week offs a lot of time because you want to keep playing games. Guys get in a rhythm, and the last thing you want to do going into the postseason is to break that rhythm. You just, you know, it's kind of like, why would you do that? You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to them. Basketball is just a sport where you usually want to play. However, in Tennessee's case right now, you know, whatever Fulkerson's going through is clearly bothering him. I think it's a lot of things, but something's bothering him. Josiah Jordan James has a sprained shooting wrist, which makes things difficult. Some guys are worn down. So I think I've heard they've got some COVID fatigue. Some guys who got the disease just to their virus, they've just, you know, the lung capacity, just the energy, it's not quite what it normally would be. So I think when you put all those things together, plus, I mean, Tennessee's 6-6 in his past 12 games. I think a week off could be really good for this team. I might, you know, I might be sitting there at the under 8 timeout in the first half Sunday and going, well, I was so wrong about that. But I think that in the situation they're in right now, I really think it could help, and I really don't think it could hurt.
Well, Wes Rucker, senior writer at Go Vols 247, and you mentioned that you're talking about Folky, and Coach Barnes talked about how he's still supporting him and believes in him. Do you think Folky then potentially comes back for another year to play basketball at UT?
I think he will. I don't know that for sure. I mean, I think I'll say this. I think I know John Fulkerson pretty well, but he's an interesting guy. So you never really know. You know, he's kind of got that whole goofy, aloof thing going on. And yes. You know, he's not always the most serious kid in the world. He's just kind of that, you know, he's kind of perpetually a 10-year-old. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in the way of, you know, he's just kind of quirky. He just kind of, he lives life his way. So it's hard to totally 100% get a read on him all the time, but I know, I mean, this kid's wanted to play basketball for Tennessee since he could walk. You know, I mean, he is living, he had two dreams. He'd like to play in the NBA, but playing at the University of Tennessee was a huge dream of his, and I don't think he wants to go out this way. Plus, when you look at it just logistically and realistically, I don't think right now he's playing the kind of basketball that would get him attention. You know, last season, you know, 12 months ago, rewind 12 months, nobody could stop this guy. And I don't think he's ever been considered like a first round pick or anything like that. But I think we all know he's capable of playing a lot better basketball than he's played for a majority of this season. So I would think, you know, he even talked about, you know, it would kind of be cool to have one last go round when the arena could be full again, because it's kind of been weird this year, and he admitted that. And I just think when you look at that combination of factors, I also think he knows how important he is to this team. I think he'll come back. Now, he might flirt with it. He's never done that whole, you know, declare without an agent. So he could do that or whatever and then come back, you know, if he doesn't sign full-time with an agent. He could go that route, and maybe he should do that. But I think at the end of the day, I think he'll be back, but I don't know that for sure.
Well, with Russ Rucker, senior writer at GoVol247, Mickey.
Wes, you wrote about Rick Barnes, and you used this phrase, you used the kid gloves. He's basically not the type of guy who will ever just tell you what you want to hear. He's not that way with the press. He's not that way with players. And despite the fact that things are not going at all the way anybody wants, you said he's not going to change the way that he handles people.
Yeah, I mean, Rick's an interesting guy because in some ways he is completely stubborn. And sometimes it's not so good, but part of him is so rigidly stubborn, but then the other part of him is impulsive and will just kind of walk in one day and be like, no, let's do something different. I'm tired of this. And so you never really know. He kind of keeps you on edge a little bit, and that's not such a bad thing, but I think in terms of the way they play offensive basketball, I think he is married to the idea that he wants like a third of their shots coming from the inside, a third coming from mid-range, a third coming from three-point range. He kind of – it's an old-school way of seeing offense, and I don't think metrics necessarily – he believes basketball should be played a certain way, and he wants it played that way. And if you don't play it that way, you're going to have problems with him. And, you know, right now, I don't know if he's looking at it as change the system. I think he's looking at it as this system works. You guys do your jobs. And he's not the kind of guy, like I said, who, you know, as soon as you're done playing ball, as soon as you've hit the showers and you come back out, you know, out on the floor, he's your favorite uncle again. I mean, as soon as you're done playing ball, it's like snapping a finger and he's back to being everybody's favorite Uncle Rick, the Reverend Rick. But when you're playing basketball, he is a drill sergeant. I mean, he's like a Marine drill sergeant. The way he goes after these guys, I mean, it's intense. And it's he will stop a play like 15 times and blow his whistle and make sure everybody does it right. And if one guy's standing 2 or 3 feet or even like 6 inches to the left of where he should be, he will make everybody stop. And he will give that guy the hairdryer treatment until he gets it right. He just believes in things a certain way. And if you don't try to do what he's asking you to do, he's never going to settle for that. You know, he's never going to be okay with that. So that's something that, you know, he's not just going to, you know, put the arm around you, say, kumbaya, we're all in this together. I believe in you, champ. You know, he's just not like that. He wants you to do a job. And if you're not trying to do it, he's not just going to sit there and be sweet to you.
Let's switch to football a little bit. Dondi Plowman doing these Zoom town hall meetings. Gosh, everybody is everything on Zoom right now. And you know, we're learning all these different things from, you know, heads of universities and athletic directors and everything else on Zoom. But she talked about there being fans in the stands for spring and about campus possibly just basically going back to full business as usual this fall and how that would affect Neyland Stadium. I'll ask you this. What do you think attendance will look like for spring, allowed attendance? And then what do you think kickoff in the fall might look like if we continue, especially to trend the way we have with COVID, knocking on wood here?
Well, you know, if everyone will just do what they're supposed to do and you know, go sign up for the vaccine, go get the vaccine, we keep the numbers down, I think they're probably, and from what I've heard, is that they're not operating under the assumption that everything's going to be 100%, but I think they're working with that as one of the possibilities. And I think it's kind of like, let's plan for that, let's hope for that, but let's make sure other bases are covered too. So you've not seen them go as far as people at like Alabama, who have said things like, you know, planning on 100%, yada, yada. I don't know if they're going to come out and say that publicly, but they are sitting there saying that's a possibility. That's what they want. I mean, goodness, they lost millions and millions of dollars this year. And there's nothing more important than the health and the welfare of humanity. But, you know, you also need to run an economy. You also need to keep things moving. You also need to keep people employed, because being employed is, you know, good for your health and welfare also. So it's a really, really complicated thing. But if the numbers keep going in the way they're going and things get better in the summer, you know, there might be a spike or two in the fall or the winter, and they'll have to deal with that then. But if things keep moving at the rate that they're going and people get the vaccine and the numbers go down, I think, you know, they can go into a fall realistically thinking, hey, let's make this as close to normal as possible. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, you need to throw away your masks and burn them. You know, I don't think we can do that confidently at this point. But I do think when you look at some trends now, you look at the number of people who, you know, the percentages are going down, the percentages of people getting vaccinated are going up. I hope this state keeps going faster and faster. Candidly, it needs to. But, you know, a lot of other states, they're doing this thing pretty well. And if we can keep on this track, then, yeah, I mean, there can be people in the stands this fall, and it can look kind of like normal, I think.
Wes Rucker, 24/7 Sports, Go Vols, 24/7 Senior Writer, joins Blaine and Mickey.
Well, Wes, I guess we see another kid in the portal. I guess tell us a little bit about him. I don't recall him doing too much this year, and that's John Mincy, as well as they hired another coach. I don't know his role, but Jacob Bronkowski. I think he's maybe going to be an analyst.
Blaine, I think he was a former quarterback. I hope I'm not saying this wrong. I think he was a walk-on quarterback at New Mexico. And he's kind of been – he's one of those young guys. He worked with Heupel a little bit at UCF. He's going to be a quality control guy. So I think, you know, I mean, you know, football staffs these days are armies. I mean, it's, you know, it's hard to remember everybody who's on a football staff now, because, my goodness, like you take like the staff picture and like the team picture, and it's like, God, which one's bigger? You know, I mean, it's there's a lot of players there, but there's also a lot more coaches than there used to be. So I think he's a guy that I've heard not a ton about, but the little I've heard about him is pretty good. So he'll be another good addition to that staff. And hey, if Josh Heupel likes your offensive mind, that's a pretty good recommendation to get, because Heupel's offense is, we'll see how he does at Tennessee, but I mean, they've been top five nationally in offense, you know, pretty much everywhere he's coached. So that's good. And in terms of Mincy, you know, Mincy's a guy who I thought he would have a better career at Tennessee than he has so far. He's just one of those guys. He's kind of a tweener. And, you know, football is getting a lot better, and you would know this as well as anyone. You know, football guys used to be almost more of a cookie-cutter by position thing. Now they find these hybrid guys, and they can find all these different ways to get them involved. But sometimes you're just a tweener, and it's tough. And Mincy's issue has been, what is he? Is he a big edge guy? Is he a quick defensive tackle? What can he do? And, you know, just he's just never quite fit the mold in terms of positionally, what is he? And they've never quite found a way to make it work. He's played a few different spots. They've tried some different things. So I'm not surprised that he's leaving. I might be a little surprised, because I think a 4-3 kind of front might be a better option for him to kind of be one of those kind of three tech hybrid guys who can play different roles. But, you know, he was recruited by a different coach. He obviously doesn't feel comfortable where things are now. I'm all for the transfer portal and the transfer rule. So if he wants to go somewhere else where he can play more, I don't think anybody can blame him for that.
I guess lastly, the spring game is April 24th, I think, tentatively, and will they allow, I guess, attendance for those games, at least at this point, do they know?
I have not heard a ton. I mean, I think they're planning on letting some people in, but I couldn't tell you that for sure. To be honest, I mean, I think it would probably be good for their brand. You know, you've got a new head coach.
Yeah.
You know, your program's been in a rough spot. You're not through the woods yet. You know, it still could be ugly during parts of this rebuild process. I'd be shocked if it wasn't a little ugly at times. But, you know, you're trying to kind of put your best foot forward. You're trying to put yourself out in the community, get people to see what you're doing. Now, you don't want to show too much. If you've got a new offense at a new place, you don't want to put that stuff on tape. So it would probably be bland football. But I think, you know, people here would eat it up if they could go. And, you know, frankly, if they let people go in there for some games during the year, I don't know why they wouldn't let a few in there for the spring game.
Yeah. Go. Wes, on the way out, Lady Vols get rolling in the SEC tournament, I guess, this evening. What kind of expectations are there on ye olde Lady Vols for this postseason?
You know, more than there were a couple weeks ago, for sure. Yeah. You know, Mickey, I think that that win over South Carolina was a really big win. Yep. You know, it's been kind of tough. Like, they've just had a hard time kind of getting the thing going. They've still been a little bit up and down. But if you look at maybe where they were earlier this season to now, this team's gotten better. That's usually a good reflection on the coach. And, I could see them having a really good postseason. I could see them kind of frustratingly going out early again. But I think it's been good to see just sort of the trajectory of this program kind of heading back up. Because things were always going to get tougher for the Lady Vols as soon as more people started taking women's sports more seriously. You know, it's kind of like the U.S. women's soccer. Like, at some point, these other people, they're going to start taking it seriously too. And when they do, you know, things are going to get tougher for you. And I think that's kind of been the way it's been for them. Other people have made good hires. They put good money into their programs. And the Lady Vols had to replace, you know, maybe one of the greatest coaches of any sport of all time. So they've kind of been through the wilderness a little bit lately. But I think the way they're playing now, you can see some things going in the right direction with Harper. And I think that's been a good thing, because that wasn't a unanimously popular hire at the time. You know, I kind of wondered, you know, do they need to stay in the family? Why couldn't they have gone out for a bigger name? Surely, you know, you could hire just about anybody for this job. So I needed to be sold on this. And, you know, honestly, it's, yeah, I'm starting to kind of see it now. I think there are some things that you're seeing that are pretty good. So, you know, it's going to come down to taking care of the ball, making bunnies. If they do those things, I think they can have a chance.
Wes, thank you, man. Good stuff. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk again soon.
No problem. Anytime. Sorry, I saw the mailman pulling up when we were doing this, and I thought, oh, God, Crime Dog and Gus are going to go at it now. And they did, but we got through it.
Yeah, that was fun, though.
All good, man. We got dogs, too. We love them, man. All the good boys can bark at the mailman. It's okay.
There you go, man. Have a good weekend.